Well, today.
Arizona News Radio, Prescott Fire investigators know a bit more about the fire that destroyed the historic Birdcage Saloon and two adjoining businesses.
It was started in the kitchen area in a cluster of appliances. Don't know exactly which appliance. They're still investigating that, but they probably will determine that within the next day or two.
75% containment on that Southern Arizona fire near Sierra Vista that's charred nearly 8,000 acres.
We still have the air attack platform and the two helitankers that are assigned to the fire, but they're not flying at this time because their services are not needed now.
The husband of a Scottsdale woman accused of custodial interference in the baby Gabriel case testified that this whole episode's been devastating.
We lost our big, beautiful home. Our business is down about a fifth of what it was. We are constantly concerned about protection for our children.
Scottsdale police arrest a pharmacist for fraudulent prescriptions.
The suspect would accept prescriptions for the drug in return for cash payments.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of the 99 cent only stores. Look for a collision southbound Loop 101 at the Prince's. Also look for an accident 59th Avenue north of Glendale. We also have a collision US 60 westbound at State Route 79 and watch for a fender bender Cactus Road at 67th Avenue. Enter 99 cent only stores design a bag contest for a chance to design their next reusable shopping bag and win a 90-second shopping spree. To enter, visit facebook.com/99centonlystores. Here's your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Some gusty winds around the valley as we die down into sunset this evening. Tomorrow's high is 96 degrees, and then we start the big heat up into the weekend. Friday, 100. By the first of next week, 102. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 93 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the Legalese Radio Show with your host, Dennis Willinchick. You're listening to 1100 Independent Talk KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
And here you are, ladies, today's dessert special.
Jen, do you smell that? Smells like rotten eggs.
Could it be a gas leak? We need to call Southwest Gas.
Southwest Gas?
They add a rotten egg odorant to their gas, so you know right away if there's a leak.
Excuse me, ladies, but you need to leave the restaurant. We might have a gas leak.
Hey, what about my dessert?
You'll have to save those calories for later.
If you ever smell the rotten egg odor, call Southwest Gas and 911 any time of the day. Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
Every day, your business faces new challenges. One place you want stability and consistency is in your workers' compensation insurance. It's one of the first things every business needs and one of the last things you want to worry about. More businesses turn to SCF Arizona than anyone in the state. Our size and stability provide affordable rates, caring claims service, and an expertise in helping your workplace stay safe. We care about your business. We're SCF Arizona. Put us to work for you.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
Sure, I think we can really work out some creative financing.
Look at it from our standpoint. We've been counting on you. We trusted you.
No more expensive nonsense.
I want that money!
And now here's the host of Legalese, Dynamite, Dennis Willinchick.
Oh, what a wonderful introduction, Chet. That was great, even if it wasn't true. But this is Dennis Willinchick, and I'm here with Jack Willinchick, and we're here every week on Legalese talking about interesting topics that we see in the news and around our state. And leading into the Michael Savage show, which talks about more national issues, of course. And today on the show, we're going to focus for the hour on a topic that many of you have probably seen in the news. And that has to do with this big, big settlement that was negotiated with the attorney generals against it was a big mortgage settlement fund. And it was part of a settlement reached by some 49 states and the country's five largest mortgage loan servicers who allegedly engaged in fraudulent foreclosure practices. And the consent judgment stipulates that the money should be used to avoid preventable foreclosures, to ameliorate the effects of the foreclosure crisis, and to prevent mortgage fraud. Arizona received a payment of some $97.7 million to the state. And Tom Horn, if you've been reading the news, was our attorney general, I guess was in charge or entrusted with holding that money. And Governor Brewer and top Republican legislative leaders, I guess, cut some kind of a budget deal, including a $50 million sweep from the mortgage settlement fund to pay for private prison contracts and maximum security beds and other uses. And the news has reported this in various ways now. Many of you have probably seen Montini from the Republic write an article about this. There's been an article today about Tom Horn agreeing to go along with it and indicating that he will defend any claim brought against this use of the money by the Center for Law and the Public Interest. And various people have expressed concern that the money they believe was intended to reach distressed homeowners, and their concern is that it might be used for other purposes. So with that background, and there's so much on this topic, I can tell you having looked at it, but with that background, we've invited today Representative John Kavanaugh of District 8, Scottsdale Fountain Hills, who is the chair of the Appropriations Committee, he'll explain how the mortgage fraud settlement monies can be spent and explain the wider area of state appropriation of funds in general. And we have with us Senator Debbie McCune-Davis of District 14, which is Central West Phoenix. She's a member of the Finance Committee in the Senate and will tell us why she opposes the mortgage fraud settlement money being used for anything other than helping homeowners. And we also have with us Valerie Iverson, Executive Director of the Arizona Housing Alliance, which is a statewide coalition of developers, lenders, investors, nonprofit agencies, government entities, housing authorities, academia, individuals who advocate for affordable housing for all Arizonans. Will be telling us a little bit about the problems with housing issues in the state, as well as the issue of how the money should be spent. And finally, last but not least, we have David Adame. And am I pronouncing that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. He is the CFO for Chicanos por la Casa and also sits on the State Housing Commission. Anyway, he'll be talking to us about why he believes a lawsuit may be needed to stop the state from spending the mortgage fraud settlement money on anything other than helping homeowners with foreclosure issues. So with that introduction, guys, everybody's here in the studio. Sounds like we have a lot of divergent opinion, but let me start, if I may, with Senator McCune-Davis, Debbie McCune-Davis. Have I stated accurately, Senator, basically what the nature of the lawsuit was to begin with, or can you shed any light on that?
I think so. Let me make a quick correction. I moved from the Senate to the House.
Oh, okay.
So I'm now a representative, and titles don't mean much. So
well, no, I apologize. I'll blame that on my producer, and I'll get him later for that.
Yeah, that's just a change. So
yeah,
that's
no
good.
Problem.
In any case, the funds that Arizona received are part of a $26 billion pact announced in February with five major lenders to settle claims by Arizona and the other states that they acted improperly and illegally in dealing with homeowners who sought mortgage relief. Arizona's share was $1.6 billion, with virtually all the money for borrowers to go to borrowers themselves. Most of that money is going into the community through the banks themselves. But the money that we're talking about today is the $97 million that went to the Attorney General for use in assisting people and for prosecuting fraud and for essentially preventing future foreclosures.
Let's just talk briefly. I'm sure our listeners, just as myself, don't really know what you're talking about. When you're talking about fraud that was committed, what kind of fraud are we talking about? Do you know?
Essentially robo-signings.
Okay.
Improper paperwork used to move forth mortgage foreclosures that didn't go through a proper process. And essentially this is how the agreement was worked out with attorneys general around the country to put that dispute behind them and to move forward to help states recover from the damage that was done.
Yeah, and it's probably in some ways more damage, as I understand it, in other states beyond even Arizona because of this robo-signing issue that you're talking about really affects other states even more than here because their people, we have, of course, non-judicial foreclosure here. The robo-signings, as I understand it, are what? Affidavits to complaints and things where basically somebody signed who has no personal knowledge of anything, right?
That would be true. However, Arizona continues to be in the top four states impacted by foreclosures. Our mortgage market has been devastated by foreclosures, and that's what has to be remedied.
Right, but the issue, of course, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the issue, of course, is whether or not there was any wrongdoing in the foreclosures in the first place to get to the settlement, and that's where I'm a little unclear of how Arizona fits into that. It sounds like Arizona got a pretty good deal from what I'm hearing because, as I said, the robo-signing issue is more an issue that really affects people in other states where the process of foreclosing is different than our process. Anyway.
I think the issue of that is behind us once the settlement was signed off on. We're talking about going forward and repairing damage that was done, and there is no question but that damage was done, significant damage.
Well, okay, we're going to turn to our other guests in a second, but when you say significant damage, let's understand what you're talking about. What do you mean by significant damage?
What I'm talking about is families who had issues of their home being foreclosed. They didn't get the assistance they needed. They didn't get the bank's attention, and that foreclosure proceeded in a manner that improperly moved them into foreclosure. They could have been in negotiation with the banks at the very time that the foreclosure came forward.
Okay.
So those are the kinds of things. I think Valerie could probably address it.
Yeah, we're going to take a break in 2 minutes. I just want to ask you, though, before we take the break, we turn to our other guests. So what do you think ought to be done with the money?
There's no doubt in my mind but that families who are currently on the verge of foreclosure need to get to a housing counselor and have assistance in resolving their situation. That's what the money is intended for, and it is intended to prevent future foreclosures.
All right, let me turn to Representative Kavanaugh, because I take it you have a different point of view than that. So tell us what you think ought to be done with the money.
Sure. Well, obviously... Well, let me first say, earlier it was said that we swept these funds, and I really think we need to clarify that. These funds were not swept. The Arizona Constitution makes it very clear that almost all monies received by the state are supposed to go to the general fund. In fact, Article 9, Section 5 states, no money shall be paid out of the state treasury except in the manner provided by law, and that law is ARS 35142. It lists the number of exceptions where it doesn't go to the general fund.
Yeah, but didn't
these
the
are not one of them.
Yeah, but didn't the settlement in this case direct where the money was supposed to go?
Well, they can direct it wherever it wants to. But in Arizona, this law states that with only certain exceptions, the money has to go to the general fund. So we didn't sweep it. It was delivered to Mr. Horn in error, and we simply restored it to where it was supposed to go by the Arizona Constitution and ARS 35142.
All right, we got less than a minute, but why do you say it was error just before we take our break?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they simply mailed it to Attorney General Horn because he was the name on the lawsuit, or if he said send it to me. But the Arizona Constitution and the revised statutes all state that that money has to go by law into the general fund. That's our Constitution, so we didn't sweep it.
I think we got the position stated here. We're going to have to take a break. Do you want to say something real quick?
I do, and that the terms of the settlement clarify where the money goes. It's not.
Yeah, we'll come back to that issue. We are debating where this $97 million ought to go that is related to the mortgage mess, I'll call it. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Last year in the United States, tens of thousands of children were reported missing. LaRue Flooring in Glendale reminds parents to talk to your children about the danger of strangers and online predators. A simple talk today could save the life of your child tomorrow. This message brought to you by LaRue Flooring, specializing in residential and commercial flooring. For an expert floor done right, go online to LaRueFlooringLLC.com or call 623-256-9995 today. That's LaRue Flooring, always working for a better place to live, work, and raise a family.
I have the answer.
Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient-dense, locally grown produce and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma Culture is our name and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacation.
Dennis Wolacek on Legalese, and every week, gosh, we just have, Jack, we just have so many different issues that pop up, and this is one of them. We're talking now about the 97-some-odd million dollars that came about through a settlement by various state attorney generals against various mortgage companies and banks relating to, mortgage practices. And it was a multi-billion-dollar settlement, and Arizona got its share of it, a lot of it. But we're talking today, again, about $97 million of it that's made the news. Representative Kavanaugh, you were just explaining your position, I guess, and your position is based on the fact that you are chair of the Appropriations Committee. So let me just ask you, is this, you were saying before the break, this is not unusual to see that this money goes into the general fund, and Representative Davis was saying otherwise. So I want to touch on that a little bit before we turn to Valerie and David.
And in the budget, we specified that the money that is that's going to the general fund, right, it should be spent. And we said it is the intent of the legislature that the monies deposited into the state general fund pursuant to subsection A of this section be used in current state fund efforts in areas covered by the national mortgage settlement, including agencies such as the State Real Estate Department, Department of Insurance and Attorney General, Department of Law, and for other areas impacted by the alleged unlawful conduct of the defendants in the national mortgage settlement. So we're legally taking this money where we're supposed to go in the first place, and we are dispensing it from the state general fund to the areas where the settlement said that it should go. And to the extent that we may have monies left over from these specified tasks here, it will also go to help fund government in general, because the behavior of these five banks made the recession far worse in Arizona and far longer, and we lost considerable revenue. Most of the cuts that we took were in education and in the social services area, and this particular budget year, most of our restorations are in education and social services. And the settlement clearly states that this is the actual language of the settlement,
okay,
that among the purposes are to ameliorate the effects of the foreclosure crisis.
Right, and but are there specifics in the settlement about exactly where the money should go and how it should be used?
There are a number of specifics, but included in those specifics is this phrase, to ameliorate the effects of the crisis. It also says to enhance law enforcement efforts, to stop against unfair practices. There's a list of specific things. Now, I do credit Representative McCune Davis. You were correct. This is a $25 billion nationwide settlement. 80% of these monies are guaranteed to go to the victims, because they go right from the banks to victims directly. The other
five, who monitors that?
I would assume the judge or somebody who is appointed. I'm not an attorney involved in the lawsuit. Right. The other 20% of this settlement goes to the states. Arizona got the $97 million. That is broken down. 30% is supposed to go directly to and I'm quoting from the fact sheet on the mortgage settlement website. 30% of Arizona's share is supposed to go directly to people whose homes were foreclosed, and the other 70% of this $97 million is supposed to go for these particular purposes, to avoid preventable foreclosures, ameliorate the effects, et cetera, et cetera. So we left a big chunk of that money with the state attorney general, and he can take care of the credit counseling and the law enforcement and reimburse himself for his costs. And what the smaller amount, and we could have taken more based on the structure of the settlement, we're going to use to ameliorate the effects, and also fund these particular state agencies that I listed before that incurred a lot of extra expense because they were the ones policing and regulating the foreclosures.
All right. Now, let me turn to Representative McCune-Davis so we don't put words in her mouth and tell us if you agree with that, and then we'll turn to Valerie.
I think you have to take a step back because what Mr. Kavanaugh says and what he does in the budget are really two different things. The $50 million that's being taken, if it is taken, will be taken out of a trust fund created by the settlement. What the Arizona language in its consent form says is that the money shall be made payable to the Office of the Arizona Attorney General. The Attorney General shall direct the use of the funds. In Arizona, the funds shall be used for purposes intended to avoid preventable foreclosures, ameliorate the effects of the foreclosure crisis, to enhance law enforcement efforts to prevent and prosecute financial fraud, which is done by the AG's office, or unfair and deceptive acts or practices. Arizona's fourth in the nation in mortgage fraud, and to compensate the state for costs relating or resulting from the alleged unlawful conduct of the defendants. That's the language of the settlement.
Yeah, but let me ask you something on that before we turn to Valerie. Isn't that pretty general language? I mean, some of that costs resulting from, et cetera. I mean, the Attorney General has apparently made his decision today, from what I read in the paper, that he's going to go along with this use, right?
Well, he has agreed to that.
Okay.
But there was one more point that needs to be made,
okay.
And that is that this also – and the AG has signed off on this. This is the agreement he entered into. It says he shall deposit the funds with the state treasurer, and the funds shall be held in a separate court-ordered trust fund account, and all interest thereon shall be deposited into the account and used only for the purposes set forth therein.
Okay, but again, he's the one that gets to determine that, as you said earlier.
That's correct, but if you also read the AG's statements, you will know that he said this was essentially taken against his will. That this is not
how he
would.
Yeah, I did read that. We'll come back to that. That's an interesting point. Valerie, I know you're dying to speak on this, so what's your take on this? If you can move the mic up just a little bit.
Okay. I think I want to talk about really the consent judgment and what it says for Arizona. And listeners need to realize that every state had a specific way that they said the money could be spent. And some states said, just put the money in the general fund. Arizona was very specific. They said that the money should be used to...
Who's they?
The settlement. The settlement document says, and the people that negotiated this settlement on behalf of Arizona...
Okay, just want to be clear.
...said that funding for housing counselors, state and local foreclosure assistance hotlines, foreclosure mediation programs, legal assistance, housing remediation. I mean, this loss... Let me finish.
You skipped over two phrases, to ameliorate the effects of the foreclosure crisis...
I'm not even up there right now.
...and to compensate the state.
Okay. Let me finish, because we let you speak for a very long time at the beginning, so I'd like to be able to finish.
Let's hear from Valerie, and then we'll turn to you, John.
And so this lawsuit was brought by the Consumer Division of the Attorney General's offices from across the country. It was brought on behalf of consumers who were wronged by robo-signing and other fraudulent activities. Therefore, it should be the consumers that are benefiting from this, the consumers that are facing foreclosure and the communities that are distressed because of those foreclosures.
But let me ask you what I think he's going to ask you, having said that in fairness. But a large bulk of the money we've already talked about, what is it, over $100 million, did you say? A billion?
What?
Used by the banks for that purpose, right?
Let's talk about that bank.
Huh? Oh, in Arizona.
In Arizona.
So $1.3 billion is coming to people that qualify in Arizona. It's not coming directly to Arizona. So the five largest banks, they're going to use that money to pay down the mortgages of their borrowers.
Right.
Now, there's lots of distressed borrowers out there that aren't covered by those five largest banks. I'll also point out that this settlement does not cover Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac insured loans. That's the bulk of the mortgages that are here in Arizona. So they're not going to get relief from this. My last point is we've all heard stories. We all have a neighbor, a coworker, a family member who's gone through foreclosures, and we know what it's like to try to go through foreclosures. People call, they get put on hold, they call again, they get another person, the paperwork gets lost. I mean, sometimes these are dragging on for years, and people are in negotiation with one representative at the bank, and then they're getting foreclosure notices on the other hand. So this money helps. This money would go to those counselors and legal aid that will help the people get the relief that they deserve and that they need.
All right, John, we got about 2 minutes before we have to take the mid-hour news break. So what's your response to that?
My response is that there's a long list of things, and among them are to ameliorate the effects of the foreclosure crisis and to compensate the state for costs resulting from the alleged willful, unlawful conduct of the defendants. We're not taking the whole $97 million. We're taking a small part, right? We're using a lot of it, we direct in the budget, to the agencies that had a lot of extra work because of this. And what's ever left over from our little sliver, we're going to put back into the general fund, because we're restoring education and we're restoring social service programs that we had to cut tremendously, $3 billion in cuts over the last 3 years. So this is totally consistent. And I think if they want to take us to court and waste money, the state taxpayers' money, then they can. But in the end, we're going to win, because this language clearly says we can do what we're doing.
Well, I think lawmakers can find any loopholes that they want to try to get through what they want. I mean, this money, I see it, is that it's supposed to be used for the consumers. This $50 million, you might think it's just a small sweep, but this $50 million could pay for just 75,000 distressed homeowners to get homeownership counseling. It could pay for 10,000 homeowners to get legal aid. Now, let me put that in perspective.
Yeah, we just got a few seconds.
Okay,
for the break.
There were 10,000 foreclosure filings last March. In March 2012 in Arizona. So that means that $50 million would only help people for 7.5 months. This mortgage settlement is supposed to be for 3 years' worth of
help. All right, we have to take our break. We're going to come back in a few minutes, and we're going to revisit that topic. We're talking about this whole mortgage issue of the money the state received and how it's spent. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and we'll be back in a few minutes after news.
NBC News Radio Special Report. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. President Obama has become the first U.S. president to declare his support for gay marriage.
I've always been adamant that gay and lesbian Americans should be treated fairly and equally.
The president made the comment in an interview with ABC News. It's a distinct area of disagreement with Republican challenger Mitt Romney.
I have the same view on marriage that I have when I was governor, and that I've expressed many times. I believe marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman.
NBC's Brian Williams says the issue is certain to remain on the radar throughout the campaign.
While no one is predicting or pretending this will become the new dominant issue in the campaign, it is a change for the president, with many opinion polls just this year tilting over into most people saying they would support such an issue.
Again, President Obama has declared his support for same-sex marriage, becoming the first U.S. president to do so. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, a fire that leveled three businesses in downtown Prescott, accidental.
The business loss to the occupants, the loss of the actual business and time out of business. All those things combined, all those factors will be in the millions.
Mississippi man with ties to Arizona added to the FBI's 10 most wanted list, and they say Adam Mays could be with two young girls he kidnapped.
It is our belief that Kalia and Alexandria are still with Adam Mays. Please remember that Mays is considered to be armed and dangerous.
Coconino County Sheriff's Office looking for a 65-year-old Oregon man last seen on a hike April 5th north of Flagstaff.
The area is an extremely remote area with no residents close to the area where we're searching.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio has put forth a community outreach program, but he says he's not bucking to the federal government either.
I hope they read it, and they may say, wow, the sheriff's office isn't that bad.
George Tanner, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KVNX traffic, once again a service of Albertsons. We still have that wreck, Highway 287. Just south of Highway Evanston, which is Arizona Avenue. Also look for an accident on Amaschool Road at Main and Mesa. Look for a car pedestrian fender bender, Elliott Road, this one at Power. At Albertsons, get California sweet corn on the cob for $5 for a buck and save $10 on the USDA Steakhouse Choice Petite Sirloin Steak. Buy one package, get two packages free. Here's your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Some gusty winds around the valley as we die down into sunset this evening. Tomorrow's high is 96 degrees, and then we start the big heat up into the weekend. Friday, 100. By the first of next week, 102. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we're at 93 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
If you're one of the 15 million people who want to be free from chronic pain, then you need to experience The Joint, the chiropractic place, the new revolution in chiropractic care. Feel better with no appointments or insurance hassles with four visits for just $49 a month. Visit us today because when you're in pain, you want relief now.
On the southwest corner of Scottsdale and Shea in the Fresh and Easy Plaza.
For more information or to locate a clinic near you, visit us online at thejoint.com.
It's time to get a second opinion on your investments from a member of the Savage Nation. My name is Brent Mikosh, financial advisor with Raymond James, and I speak bluntly with my clients about the challenges and opportunities that exist for investors today. I'm located in Scottsdale, and I'm offering Savage listeners a free, no-obligation review of your current portfolio. Call me, Brent Mikosh, at 480-284-8712. Again, that's 480-284-8712. You'll be glad you did. Raymond James Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC, 7150 East Camelback Road, Suite 400.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
This is Dennis Wolacek and Jack Wolacek, and we are here every Wednesday, 4 to 5, Independent Talk Radio, 1100 KFNX, only place in town where you can actually talk at length about an issue that's very important, and that is how this $97-some-odd million is going to be spent right now. It seems like it's going to be spent on things that some of our guests feel are inappropriate. So I want to be specific. You know, we haven't heard from you, David. We have David Adami, CFO for Chicanos por la Causa and on the State Housing Commission, along with Valerie Iverson, Executive Director of the Housing Alliance, and Representative Debbie McCune-Davis and Representative John Kavanaugh. David, yes. Let me turn to you. What specifically, if you can identify for us, do you think the money should be spent for, and is there anything that you plan on doing about it?
Well, definitely, there's definitely some ideals and where to properly use the monies. You know, I understand the debate that's been happening earlier in the show, but I look at it from what's the right thing to do. At the end of the day, I have to look every day, or my counselors have to look every day to families who have lost their home somehow, whether it's with the banks involved in the lawsuit or not. And I think that's where we need to focus on. And I think it's short-term to look at it from a standpoint of let's just put the half of the money and put it back in the departments for money lost. That's a one-time fix, a one-year budget fix. I don't think that's the way we want to look at it. The AG office has been hosting roundtables with different industry players, and I happen to be invited to one with the nonprofits. Clearly, the nonprofits are advocating for education, which is clearly stated within the settlement. And we have plenty of data that shows that folks who actually receive counseling were not taken advantage of by these equity lines or crazy loans that they couldn't afford. They were put in the right products, because we always counsel for sustainable home ownership. And there's clear facts and data that prove that somebody that got counseling from a HUD certified counseling agency, not nearly the same foreclosure rates that happen in the general market.
But really, that's not the issue, is it? I mean, you can counsel people all they want. Their problem is predatory practices of the lenders, wasn't it?
Right, but that's exactly the point. If somebody came and said, okay, here's what I'm being offered, and they brought the offer from a predatory lending, they would be advised that this is not the proper structure for you.
Okay.
You don't want an ARM or a crazy loan that didn't matter. Now, the other things that we suggested, I mentioned earlier that it's a short-term look if you're just going to pop the money in a Department of Real Estate or insurance and those type of things. Long-term, we need to stabilize the housing market in this state. It's crucial for the state, right? Half of the loans are at one point are underwater in the state. That means half of the people, and I have a loan right now in my home. It's underwater, but I just happen to continue.
Join the club.
Right. There's a lot of people like that.
Right.
But we need to get in a position where we can come up with creative ways to help people get back in their homes, get them back in a program where they can get back to home ownership and start building wealth. That's how we start getting people back on track, getting the state to get the proper taxes going on and continue. It also can act as a job creator because you start putting houses back in the market to the right people. The ripple effect of getting people back in jobs also
right.
have.
Let's say I agree with everything you just said, because I don't disagree with it personally. I can't imagine anybody that really could, but there are always people that surprise me. But let's just say that everything you said is great.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm struggling with is, so tell me specifically, and if I'm being too, you know, difficult on that, it's because I want to really understand what you – I got the counseling part, that some money should be put to counsel people.
Right.
Now, what are you actually saying now? Are you saying that you're advocating that people be given actual money out of this to assist them in
– No, what I'm saying is you can create other – there's another idea that was presented during those roundtables. There's a lot of inventory out there for people to try to get back on track and buy a home. The problem is that the market is set up so that investors in this market are buying up all the properties. And there was an article in a paper a few weeks ago that talked about hardworking families who are in a position to buy. They've been counseled. They have their down payment. They're not getting into a crazy loan that they shouldn't get into, but they can't buy properties because investors are buying.
Well, that's one of the reasons. The other reason is because of their foreclosures, their credit won't allow them to buy anything.
Well, no, these are folks that are still in line, prepared, have been counseled, and they are pre-qualified for a loan.
Okay.
The problem is an investor will come in and undercut them. If you trade up a program working with the nonprofit industry, you can allow them to get access on a revolving basis to buy homes, put proper working families in there with the proper counseling, with the right loan structure, so they can get on
with
their lives.
All right, I agree with all that, but tell me how this money, let's get back to that, how is this money going to be applied to that specifically?
Okay, let me try to make it simple.
Yeah, please.
There's inventory out there. We need access to it. We can't get access to it because inventories, international buyers, et cetera, are buying the properties under from hardworking families who are going out to bid on these homes.
Okay.
One ideal that could address aiding homes and dealing with this foreclosure problem with folks to get people back into homes is to allow these monies to be used as a working revolving line of credit to allow us to buy these homes. That way we have control of the inventory and can put match up working hardworking families back into these homes.
Yeah.
And that's a better long-term plan, in my opinion.
Yeah, the problem with it is, though, then you got to get into the details of it and who gets those loans, what's the parameters of who gets those loans? And that could become very difficult, couldn't it?
Well, let me step in here, because there's a fund of $260 million sitting at the Department of Housing that the very counselors that we're talking about here could identify the folks who are eligible for these. And they are for permanent modifications. They are for second mortgage assistance, for unemployment mortgage assistance, and short sale component.
Okay, so let me see if I got what you just said, please. So you're saying there's already a fund of this $1 billion set aside?
No, this is different money. This is hardest hit fund because of Arizona's status in the top four states in the country.
So where did
dealing
this money
with
come
foreclosure?
From
the federal government, it is the hardest hit fund. That agency has had that money for 2 years, and they've expended about $2 million. It's just sitting there.
That's a separate issue then.
It's a separate issue, but the point is with people who understand this situation, these funds could be put to appropriate use in addition to the dollars that are available in
All
this.
Right. Let's give John a chance to respond.
I just make a real quick comment, and I'm not an expert in this kind of mortgage crisis and the financing, but are you really doing people whose homes are worth, say, $150,000, whose mortgages are $350,000, are you really doing them a favor by giving them sort of a loan modification so that for the next 30 years they'll be paying off and maybe never even getting to the principal? I mean, maybe some of these people really should just walk away. I mean, when you're that, it's like Greece. You know, are they really helping Greece by not letting it simply leave the euro and go back to its own currency? I mean, I'm not an expert.
Of course, some people
can be hurt, but it's
what I see now, I was at a Department of Real Estate meeting this morning because I sit on the advisory board, and things are heating up out there, actually, because of this whole investor thing that David was talking about. And it's very difficult now for people to buy houses, believe it or not, right now, mm-hmm. contrary to what it was a year or two ago. There's hardly anything on the market right now, as a matter of fact.
I think there are talk in the market about how foreclosures are dropping and home prices are going up. But let's remember, we're coming from the bottom of the barrel already, so
sure.
There's no place for our market except to go up. We still have a terrible foreclosure problem in the state. It's the worst in the country. There's a new study. We talk about, why don't we just walk away from the homes?
Some people clearly are saveable, but I think that's a small percentage,
and most people would want to stay in their homes if they could. I mean, I talked to a single mom of three today, and she was telling me how a home ownership counselor helped her. She worked with a bank for 2 years to try to get a loan modification, so it would be a principal write down, so it would be a balance that would be, you know, maybe 125% loan to value, but something she could live with, but she can, and then make the payments. She worked for 2 years to try to get a loan mod. No help.
Yeah, no, I know.
Going through the system.
True.
She finally connected with a homeowner counselor. They were able in 1 month to get a loan modification.
Right,
She's now stable and in her home. So what else? We talk about why do people walk away from a home? Because foreclosures are devastating to communities.
All right.
And they affect our kids. But making kids have to move, it's bad for it. We find that children with high mobilities have low educational success.
We've got to take a break in a second, and we'll come back to this.
It hurts property values. They find that if there's a foreclosure in a nearby property, it makes the value of your home go down by over 1%. It increases crime.
All right, we're going to come back to this. I got to cut you off because we've got to take a break.
Okay.
This is Dennis Wolchek on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX on Legalese.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
A child is taken, but there is hope through the Arizona Amber Alert. An Amber Alert provides the public with information that could lead to the safe recovery of a child. When a child is missing, everyone plays an important role. To learn more about the details of a specific Amber Alert, dial 511 or go to azamberalert.org. Together, we can all help save a child. Sponsored by the Arizona Department of Transportation, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name's Dave Leach with Renee Leach & Associates. As everyone knows, the U.S. economy depends greatly on the condition of the real estate market, and neither are improving soon. As a result, if you have a mortgage in Arizona, there's a huge chance that you're upside down on that home. Phoenix home prices are down 20 to 30 years in many neighborhoods. What someone paid in 1985 is about what the home might be worth today. There is good news. Banks are encouraging short sales. At Renee Leach & Associates, we have closed over 1,100 home sales in the past 24 months. We have the experience to help you get out from under a bad mortgage. It will cost you nothing. Our relationships with lenders allow us to get it closed fast at no expense to you. You can't wait. Banks are not going to allow you to short sale forever. The tax relief is scheduled to end this year. That means you have to act now. If you wait, you might find yourself stuck, despite still owing more than your home is worth. Call 480-656-1644. Ask for me, Dave Leach, and let me help you gather the information you need to understand your options. Renee Leach & Associates, 480-656-1644, or look for us online at rlabrokers.com. That's rlabrokers.com.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I was gambling in Havana. I was not gambling in a van, I promise that, Chad. But we are talking about people who unfortunately are in a situation every day just as bad, and that is talking about this money that came into the state. There's 97 some odd million dollars that's at issue right now in terms of where it goes. And we have with us Representatives Kavanaugh and McCune Davis talking about this, as well as Valerie Iverson and David Adami. So it's a hot topic right now, and frankly, it's one that perplexes me. So I'm a little stumped here. I mean, John, let me turn back to you again. We talked about the money that has already – you don't want to use the word been swept, but the money that's going to be used that Attorney General Horn is not apparently going to contest and what it's going to be used for earlier in the show. What about the remaining money is what I was asking you during the break.
And let's get a little perspective here, because you say $97 million, that sounds like a lot of money, but let's do perspective. As part of this $25 billion nationwide settlement, Arizona got a total of $1.4 billion. $1.3 of the $1.4 billion is going directly to affected homeowners from the banks to them without the state even being involved. That leaves $97 million, a sliver, which is going to the state. Half of that is in the general fund. We're going to use it to compensate some of our agencies that have a lot of cost and also to try to undo some of the cuts in educational social programs. And the other $47 million stays with the state attorney general. He's got a little cost for the lawsuit, obviously. And in addition, he's going to be doing the enforcement programs, the prevention programs, the education programs that are also part of the settlement.
So your argument, in essence, if I got this right, is that because the state was was depleted in some ways of resources it would otherwise have.
Mm-hmm. And had costs
pursuing litigation because of the lesson, tax base, that it can now replenish that money with this money, basically.
That's correct, because I think a reasonable reading of the actual settlement language, which we've read about three times, lists those two things as acceptable for the small sliver that they've given the state.
Well, right, let me turn to you guys. Why isn't it within the discretion of not only the legislature, who I guess is behind this, let's talk about that, the details, but also of the Attorney General to do that?
Well, okay, let me tell you why, from a public point of view, you don't want Mr. Kavanaugh to take this money to fund the bureaucracy.
Something personal now. I'm not putting
Well, no, you're not
no,
going to Hawaii.
No, but as chairman
I know
of
that.
Appropriations, obviously that money was sitting there and had a certain appeal, and now it's been co-opted to fund bureaucracies, including
– Was that voted on by the entire legislature, or is that just the
committee
that determined
that? Was the other thing, and that's one of the reasons I'm interested.
It was worth coming here to hear a Democrat call education a bureaucracy.
Let me be specific. I'm talking about the Department of Real Estate, which is not related to this, Department of Insurance, which is not related to this, Department of Law, which is already taken care of in the other half of the fund. But the things you've listed are not relevant to this settlement. For me, living in a community where every time there is a foreclosure, the value in my home goes down. The ability of me to refinance, or people who have to refinance because they're at the end of an arm, we force them to make very difficult decisions. And in some cases, as Mr. Kavanaugh said, they have to walk away because the property is out of sync with the loan that they have.
All right, but let me ask you something on that, if I may. Whose fault is that? I mean, you can take a viewpoint that people have a responsibility too.
I'll tell you whose fault it is. It is the economic downturn that happened across this country, and this attitude that someone should be blamed for these decisions is just flat wrong. People got married, they bought houses, they graduated from college and moved into housing that they believed they could afford. People are professionals who are not.
I mean, haven't we all been affected by that?
Every one of us that owns a home? But my point is, it's wrong to make judgments. It's right to take these resources and make things better so we can get out of the hole we're in and begin the climb up so that my property comes back into sync with the loan that I have, so I'm not forced to walk away and not in a position where that's the desirable action to take. And if we use this money properly, we'll get there quicker than if it gets swept and taken into the legislative
budget. All right, John, what's wrong
about that? If we don't assign blame, then we're going to do a rerun of this in 20 years. The banks who gave mortgages to people who they knew could never afford them and pay them off are to blame.
Well, so are
and
the people
who knew
extent,
that
they
couldn't pay the payments.
Yeah, I mean,
are to blame.
I don't buy this thing that people aren't responsible.
And people who took out home equity loans on inflated housing values and bought boats and took vacations and had a high life. That's one reason why we had such a booming economy back in 6, 7, and 8. We were spending artificial money,
right.
And now we have
fair.
To pay the piper.
But it still doesn't change the fact that we got a problem, and Debbie's right on that. We do have a problem. So the question is, how do we solve that problem? What are you proposing to solve it, and with what money?
Well, I'm proposing that over of the $1.4 billion, over $1.3 go to the victims, either directly or the small sliver from the Attorney General, and the state take this tiny sliver that we're allowed to take, directed to the agencies that were affected.
All right, David, what do you want to
say? What I wanted to add is, if you take the logic that's been talked about, that we take that portion that belongs to the state, what happened to the $30 million that was swept out of the housing trust fund, out of the housing department? I didn't hear any of that department being mentioned as far as where should this money be replaced. There used to be a fund that used to help support housing in the state that was funded by unclaimed property revenues. $30 million of that was swept over the last few years with these budget crises. I didn't hear anything saying, well, okay, this is housing related. Can we replace that $30 million?
Well, let's talk about that real quick, because I hadn't heard that part of it. That's an interesting point. So exactly what was that money being used for?
That money was being done to support housing throughout the state, both urban and rural areas. It supported affordable housing projects. It supported pre-development work for nonprofits to be able to get these projects done.
And it went specifically where? To the Department of Housing?
It went specifically to the Department of Housing. It was out of appropriations, and they got their share of the unclaimed property revenues that were generated. And over $30 million was swept over the last year. So I would be happy if they say, okay, you're going to sweep. They don't like the word sweep.
Though.
Take 50, that 50, put 30 back where we came from.
Do you disagree, though, with John, who's saying, look, I'm looking at what this – and I'm asking this as a question, not a statement. I'm looking at the settlement. It has things in there that are pretty generic and broad, whether good or bad, that's what it says, and that, therefore, the state is entitled to something out of that money. Do you agree with that general statement or not?
No. I think it's short-term to get it, to pay it back
mean?
I think you can still achieve helping the state back out by doing it from a market perspective. Let the market get back to work so it can start paying the fees that end up paying the state on a long-term basis. If all we do
right,
is just replace
the market to work, you're suggesting we do what exactly?
Well, we can, again, start getting between the GSEs and HUD. They currently own over 300,000 properties across the state. I don't have the exact number here in the state, but it's a large number. And if we could start working with these monies to get access to that inventory to not just be sold to investors, we can put it in the hands of hardworking Arizona families.
We're losing time, but John, and I'll turn to you, Valerie, in a second. But John, where exactly is this money going to go, the $50 million?
Well, again,
specifically.
Okay, Department of Law, the Attorney General's Office, Department of Real Estate.
But wait a minute, you said the Attorney General's Office is going to pay themselves money out of their balance.
Right, because they had legal expenses. And they're also going to be doing some of the.
But you said that was out of the balance of the $47 million or whatever.
Okay.
So where is this $50 million going?
Department of Real Estate.
What is the Department of Real Estate going to use it for? I don't understand it.
Well, they have inspectors. They oversee. They oversee.
So you're saying the budget is going to be increased pro rata of this $50 million?
No, we're going to put that into their budget. That money will go to them and fund their programs. So because they continue to monitor mortgages and fraud and deception.
And what's the rest of it?
Department of Law is involved. Department of Insurance, because they also suffered some losses. And whatever remains, and it might be a fair part of that money, education, social programs that were drastically cut. $3 billion in cuts over the last 3 years.
Yeah, but
we're starting to restore that.
But don't you basically agree that the whole purpose of the settlement was basically to solve the problem that was created by the point of the lawsuit?
Absolutely. And that's why of $1.4 billion, about 99%, 98% of that is going for those direct purposes. And these two little phrases, to ameliorate the effects of the crisis and to compensate the state, are taking this tiny sliver.
All right. Valerie?
And I would say that we'll never be able to access the $1.3 billion without those home ownership counselors to help guide these people through this bureaucratic maze that is out there. I already told the one horror story. I think the intent here of this consent judgment is that it was a lawsuit on behalf of the consumers. The money should be for consumers. When there is a lawsuit for people and then it's swept into a general fund, there's no way for us to be able to trace where that money's going to go. It goes into this big, it goes into the big general fund, and who knows where it's going. The money should be for the consumers for
a
foreclosure
crisis. We only have a very small period of time. Debbie?
Yes. I'm fascinated by $50 million being referred to as a tiny sliver of funds. To me, the something is detached in terms of our focusing on reality here. I heard from a woman from St. Patrick's Parish in North Scottsdale, not North Scottsdale, sort of central North Scottsdale, who came to testify at the only bill that was heard this session related to homeowners in distress. And she described people who didn't want to leave their neighborhoods because their attachment to the school and to the churches, who were borrowing from their retirement funds and were borrowing from their insurance policies in order to keep their homes.
Terrible.
That's what this is intended to do, is to help those families stay in those homes, stabilize those communities, and make Arizona a better economic place to live.
We got to go, but I don't think we'll ever have a clear answer to this. But I do appreciate all of you being here, David Adami, Valerie Iverson, Representative McCune Davis and Representative John Kavanaugh. Really, thank you so much. It's been enlightening, and I don't know the answer, but we'll figure it out eventually, I guess. Thank you.
Not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. We will do our morning laps, walk our dogs around the block, pass up the elevator, and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Quality and cheap don't typically go together. The exception to that rule is the cheap printer. Just $14 for 1,000 double-sided color business cards, the highest quality printing for the cheapest price guaranteed. All work made in America, full-service printing and design. Call the cheap printer right now, 602-919-5566. 1,000 color double-sided business cards, just $14. San Chevrolet and Caesars Palace are our clients. You should be too. 602-